Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, my heart is so full from this week, and you may have a seat. And hey, give your band a hand. They're amazing. They're musicians. Hey, come on, man. Tony in the house, man. When I grow up, I want to be as cool as that guy right there. It's just, and yeah, your musicians are amazing. Everybody, just this, the stuff that's going on here is highly unusual. What happened this weekend with these men is extraordinary. And I would lay that, you know, a lot of times people say, well, it's because, you know, Pastor Jurgen, he's a manly man. And loves that, but I would lay a lot of it at the prayer life of Pastor Leanne. Come on, somebody. which starts with praying for her husband. Amen. But you have two of the greatest pastors in the entire world, in Jurgen and Leanne Mathesius. Can you say amen? And what's unusual is the raising up of strong men and women in leadership. Not just by way of program, but by way of culture. There is a culture of honor here. We sense it as we come in and out. We sense it in just the way people are treated, the way you greet each other in the lobby. Have you sensed that as you walk in? There's honor and respect, and it's called Christianity. This is called being a follower of Christ. This is called doing our job, right, men? And in that, in the raising up of leaders, what God's done, you guys have such a deep bench with C3 San Diego, and what's happening across this county is literally touching the nation. Because there are people coming here, pastors and leaders, coming to these campuses every week saying, hey, what's going on? What's happening? How do you do that? And there's, well, I don't know, we just live it. And there's more to it than that. And two of the great leaders that have been raised up in this house and that the Lord has put in a place of leadership here, South Campus, are two of our favorite people in the entire world, Pastor Drew and Emma. Would you just give them a hand? They're awesome! Come on! Come on! Yo! Amen. And we like them so much, and we love them so much, we follow them on Instagram even, you know what I mean? You got to love somebody, you know? So, hey, I want you to turn to John chapter 11, and we're going to look at something there that's one of my favorite stories, and it happens to really hit into what's happening over the next couple of weeks. I do have tonight here in South Campus proof that God is one of the most creative geniuses ever. He is God, knows how to build something, make something, create something so powerful, so beautiful that you can just, all you can do is just stand in awe. Because my amazing, spectacular wife, Judy, is here. Come on, somebody. Yo! Woo! We've been married, I can't tell you how long. She doesn't want me to tell anybody. Really? We've been married 47 years, man. It's awesome. And we love this area. Pastor Anastasia is here. Stacy, good to have you here. A lot of great people. Come on, give it a good up for her. Stacy's like, she gets it done, man. So we're sitting here a few minutes ago, and I'm watching the video of the men's thing, right? Merge, and I lean over to Stacy, I go, hey, that'd be awesome to have like a link or something to that. And like 3 seconds later, ding. I got this link on my phone of that video. It was awesome. Like, get stuff done, right? And So I love that. I love what's happening, what's going on. A week ago, we were in, when I talk about these things in women and International Women's Day, a week ago Thursday, we were in Lima, Peru with Pastor Robert Berger. Dear friends, have a significant church there and have hundreds of churches that across South America that they are mentoring. And that Thursday night of International Women's Day, which was International Women's Day, who actually made that up? Somebody, like some guy created that, right? Like Hallmark or something? Was that? Anyway, so International Women's Day. And so we actually honored the first ever woman firefighter in the history of Peru. And the president of the nation came. First time the president of Peru is an acting president or sitting president of the nation of Peru has ever been in a Christian church. Stuff's happening, man. All over the world. We minister all over the world with Christian Men's Network, the ministry that I steward. And we're in 137 countries. And things are happening. Indonesia, 15 years ago, we've had 900,000 men go through our curriculum in Indonesia. And over half of those former Muslim men. And that nation that 15 years ago was 95% Muslim, 4% Christian, is today over 30% followers of Christ. I mean, things are happening. Come on, somebody. And I get psyched up about it because what happens is when the power and the presence of God enters, everything changes. When Jesus shows up, everything changes. Culture changes, respect, honor. Everything changes, and you can see it when it's not there, what happens, right? And we've all lived through that. And so with Christian Men's Network and our new thrust, Global Fatherhood Initiative, that is a human justice mission focused on defeating fatherlessness and ending child abuse. So that's our thrust. That's what we do in 137 countries, and Judy and I steward that and pour our lives into that because we believe that every child deserves a loving dad. Turn to somebody and say, this is going to be a good night, man. This is going to be a good night. It's already been awesome having those people. I mean, and some of those guys, were some of those guys, Pastor Drew, were some of them baptized at Emerge and then they came here? Okay, so because that was 32 degree dirty water. So tonight was like 60 degree clean water. So we got the whole thing covered, right? That's an amazing time. My feet are just now getting warm. My feet are just now getting warm. And what was announced at the camp, and we haven't shown it, but is this C3 Church is purchasing a 427-acre ranch. Come on, somebody. Called Risen Ranch. You are in the middle of something absolutely amazing. Oh, hey, I've got a picture of a special picture family. This is the family one. And it's the kids sitting on stairs. Do we have that? So there it is. That's Judy's mom, and those are our grandchildren. And there is never a moment where you can get all of them still at the same time. And that one up there yelling, she's the boss. That's Dylan. She was 4 years old Wednesday. And let me show you another one. This comes from our ministry in Brazil. Let me show you this next one. And I love this. And here's the story. So we have about 4,600 churches using our curriculum for mentoring men in the nation of Brazil. And so I was there a while back, and we have an office there and all that. But I was there in central Brazil, and this couple came up, and they were going to give their testimony. So I hadn't met them, and in fact, the organizer didn't actually know their story. So they get up, and the lady talked first. And she said, her testimony started with, she said, for 10 years, I prayed, dear God, please make me a widow. So when the guy gets up, when that man gets up, he says, this ministry not only saved our marriage, it saved my life. Come on, somebody. Is that true? Is that awesome? Just turn to somebody and say, hey, this is real. We're just being real. Amen. And I love stories like that. And we brought some tools and things. I brought this is an amazing book that my wife's husband wrote. Tony, you want to talk about your own stuff. You know, it's like her husband wrote this. It's awesome. And it's called Just a Bartender, Unexpected People Change the World. And it's on identity. And it's a core issue in our world today, identity. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And so Bartender is about a man named Nehemiah. And the Bible says, in fact, there's a book named after him, and it says that he was the cupbearer for the king. So I figured he was a bartender. And then that guy who was a slave and a bartender ended up rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. How does that happen? Something had to shift in his identity. And what you allow to define you will determine your destiny. So there's things in here like how to focus your life. Focus isn't about greater intensity. It's about greater intentionality. Turn to somebody and say, you need to get that book. John chapter 15, I want to read this scripture as you go to chapter 11. I want to read this for you. John chapter 15, verses 15 through 17. It says this, Jesus is talking and he's talking to you and me. And he says this, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. The beauty of being a follower of Christ, it says in the first part of Ephesians, Paul, the apostle, writing to a church in Ephesus says, everything you need to fulfill your destiny, I've given you. In other words, it says God is a lavish God. When Jesus said to pray, he said to pray our what? Our Father. Now, God is a spirit. God is all that's male and female. God is a spirit. God is love. And yet he gave us a picture of who he is. He's a father. He's a father who will never leave. He's a father who's always there. He's the Father who loves you, and he's the Father who will give you what you need to fulfill your destiny. I mean, think about this. Think about a young dad that's out here watching his kids play soccer. You know, you ever been around the little kids playing soccer, little 4 or 5 year olds, and they're all kind of clumped together and following the ball, you know? Both teams. That's awesome. And we're all parents, and we're going, yeah, way to go, you know? And a dad's out there looking at his kid going, you see that? That is genius. Look at the little kid in the little clump. See, and that spirit of a father is what Jesus wanted us to catch that God senses about you. That he's the father who loves you personally with a passion. And Jesus Christ is proof that he loves you. He sent his son for you. So he says, I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what's going on. He just gets told what to do. He says, but this is so powerful. He says, but now you are my, look at this. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everybody say friends.
Friends.
Man, we need friends, don't we? And so our word tonight that I'm really excited about is a picture of Jesus and his best friend. If you want to know what God is like, you look at the life of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. In other words, everything Jesus did is who God is. So I said, well, you know, life of Jesus is great, that was cool, but what's God like, or what is he thinking? Look at the life of Jesus. So we're going to look at the life of Jesus and his best friend. Let's pray. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open and our spirits energized to receive your word. The Father comes from you for us to leave this place as the church, to go be the church. That Father, we would just exude who you are to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome stuff. So let me go to this. I want to mention just a couple things before we get into this story of a guy named Lazarus, Jesus' best friend. Hebrews 11 says that faith is what connects us to God. And Abraham is called the father of faith. Now, Abraham is the guy that basically God chose, and he chose him. Abraham turned to him, was looking for God. God found him. Bam! So, okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to a place, and he started leading him. And what the Bible teaches us is that Abraham's obedience, just the fact that he was willing to trust God and go to a place that he didn't know, that's called faith. We trust him. We trust him, we have faith in him, but then we also act. So the beauty of Abraham's life that causes us today to be able to walk in the energy of that faith and that strength is that Abraham trusted God. And then he acted. James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, said this in chapter 1 of James. He said, faith without works is dead. In other words, if you say you have faith, but then you don't act it. That's the issue where when we say your life is speaking louder than your words. How many of us know that guy? Right? It says faith without works is dead. And the problem is we kind of invert those and we get all busy about works and we forget the whole faith side of being close to him. Or other times we get so caught up in, you know, I'm just going to be in faith that we forget to do something about it. But acting on it actually proves your faith. Let me show you an example. Now, I've trained for this. Don't do this at home. So... this is a pair of scissors, right? Cutting the paper. Well done, right? Now watch this. When I cut the paper, let me ask you something. Which side of these scissors was the most important side of the scissors? That's faith and works. So you can't separate it and say, well, you know, I'm going to work this and I'm going to do this and somehow God's going to love my performance. No, he's a father who looks at his little kid out there running around and it's not about performance. It's about faith. It's about love. It's about being connected. And he says about Abraham, I want you to look at this. This is great. He says about Abraham, this guy. In James 2:23, it says this. Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See that? It's credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's what?
Friend.
His friend. Now think about that. Who wrote the Bible? Oh, this isn't a trick question. I don't do those. Okay, God wrote the Bible, right? Inspired men, they wrote it, but God directed this. And he wrote about a man named Abraham. He said, this guy was my friend. Think about that. Personal, possessive, my friend. God, creator of the universe, spoke, bam, light happens, stuff. That God, Jehovah, speaks of a man and says, that guy's my friend. The power of the life of Abraham to do what he did was that he was the friend of God. It says in one other place, Isaiah 41:8. It says, Israel, you're my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham. What is it? My friend. And here's the beauty of this little story tonight that we're going to look at is it shows us in a picture of who God is to you and me, of who Christ is. He's our friend. Abraham's secret was he was a friend. We all need friends, don't we? We need friends in our lives. We need, you know, a friend is somebody who speaks well about you even when you're not there. Right? A friend is life's shock absorber. Right? Friends are those people. You know, a friend is one who brightens the room when they walk in. Right? There, other people brighten the room when they leave. But a friend... I'll give you an example. We were in Peru, and my friend Robert Berger, who pastors there, we're very close friends. And so a number of years ago, he grew up in Huntington Beach. I grew up in Santa Cruz. I was born in La Jolla, actually, with the dolphins at Scripps. It was awesome. It's a water birth. And so So Robert and I, this is about 10 years ago. So first time I went down there, coast of Peru, and I thought, this will be awesome. We'll go surfing. So we go out to this place. And I hadn't stand-up surfed in a long time, so I got a bodyboard and took that out in this one area. And then he and some guys went out with their boards, and I didn't want to be in the same place. So I go over here. It's a place called Punta Negra. And he goes out. There's a couple guys. They go out over here. It was a big day, big swell. So I go out, and I'm getting out there. And all of a sudden, man, as I'm just about past the break line, just a massive rogue wave comes. I mean, you look up and you go, well, you say whatever comes to mind. Okay. We already did that, didn't we? Okay. So, and you're just like, no, I'm dead. And so this thing just wasted me. Bam. You know, the whole spin cycle. Bam, 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 bam. And now I'm like, boom, on the beach, like, bam. I'm laying there. Robert and his two buddies are over there. And the one guy turns to Robert and says, yo, isn't that Pastor Paul up there on the, he's up on the, is he moving? You know, so they're like looking and, man, I don't know. And so the other guy says, hey, maybe we should go help him out. Now, this is when I found out that Robert was truly my friend. Because Robert looks and goes, no, I think I saw his hand just move. He's good. He's good. That's a friend, right? I mean, for guys, a friend is somebody you can go to the football game with. And you don't have to talk. Come on, somebody. Watching football. And, you know, for the ladies, you know, it's a friend as you go to the football game. And you don't ever see the game because you're just talking because that's what we do. Those are friends, right? And God says about Abraham, he's my friend. Now, let's work this out in John 11 with a guy named Lazarus. The Bible says that Jesus and Lazarus were friends. Here's what it says in chapter 11. It says a man was sick, Lazarus, in the village of Bethany and Mary and sister Martha. You ever heard of these guys before, Mary and Martha? All right, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they live in Bethany. It's about 2 miles kind of up a grade from Jerusalem. And he's sick. He's going to die. So the sisters, not the brother, not Lazarus, but the sisters send word to Jesus. Says, hey, your best friend, the man you love, is sick. About to die. So then the word says, so Jesus said, all right, cool, don't worry. God's going to be glorified through this. In other words, he's got a plan. God always has a plan. God's a God of strategy. There's always a strategy. Even when we don't see it, he's a God of strategy. Jesus said, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to be cool. And so he stayed there. He's a five-hour walk away from Bethany. Five-hour walk. His best friend's sick. See, I figured this guy, in fact, he's such a good friend. Lazarus is such a good friend of Jesus that Jesus didn't make him a disciple. I mean, think about this. This guy's his best friend, but he doesn't make him a disciple because you got to have somebody you can hang out with. I mean, I just see him and Lazarus and Jesus showing up going, hey, man. The other day, you should have seen it. It's hilarious. Peter, get out of the boat. He's like right there. I'm like looking at him. What? He's like, boo. I'm like, what? Right? I picked him up, took him back. Lazarus is going, man, that's hilarious. I know. I mean, James and John, man, their mom showed up the other day, man. That was a trip. Right? I mean, you got to have somebody you can hang out with. That's a friend. And so there's Jesus and his friend Lazarus, and the guy's going to die. And Jesus goes, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. And they're like, no. And his disciples are there. They're like, dude, that's your friend. No, it's cool. And then they get word he's dead. I mean, just think about, think about this. This is real people who really live. When you read the Word of God, you have to read it. This really happened. These are real people. This stuff happened. And what would it be like? What would it be like if you were a disciple? You'd be like going, hey, nice going with the Messiah thing, huh? Your buddy's dead, man. Nice going. It's this resurrection life thing anyway, you know what I mean? And think about this. And so Jesus says to his disciples in the chapter there, he says, no, don't worry, he's sleeping. So the disciples are going, oh, okay, cool, so he's sleeping. And so now they're going, don't worry about it, guys, he's just sleeping. Jesus goes, no, it's just like, that was just a picture, like a word thought thing. No, he's dead. Like, ah, right? So now he waits 4 days. Now check this out. This is great. I love this story because this is Jesus. This is God in action for you. Because you're his friend. Loves you with a passion. This is Jesus with his best friend. So now it says that he comes. Let's go down to in chapter 11 of St. John. We go back down to, okay, so verse 17 is like when he finally walks the 5 hours. He'd been in the tomb 4 days. Now this is significant. I'm not going to pull the whole thing apart. But in this culture, 4 days would mean that the spirit had departed in the Jewish culture. Bam, gone. So he arrives, and Martha shows up. Martha comes out. She's upset. If you know some of the stories about Mary and Martha, I've heard preachers say, hey, man, don't be a Martha, be a Mary. She worshiped the Lord. Martha was busy in the kitchen and stuff. And Martha comes out. She's upset. And I'm thinking, yeah, but if I want to build a church or a company, do I want Martha or Mary? Come on, somebody. I need some Marthas. Get some stuff done. Don't slam Martha. She comes out. She's upset. Jesus says, don't worry about it. I got this. She goes, oh, I know. Someday he'll rise again. He goes, no. And here's what he said in one of the translations. He says this. He says, Martha, I am right now the resurrection and the life. See, you don't have to feel bad for 2 weeks about something you did or what happened or something you messed up on. You don't have to feel. Jesus said, I am right now the resurrection and the life. Right now. So he shows up and speaks and says, Lazarus. Because they'd put him in a tomb. He's in a cave. In a tomb. They'd put a rock in front of it. He's in a dark place. It says he's wrapped up in burial clothes. He's tied up. You ever been tied up? You ever been just wrapped up? Things aren't right. You ever been in a dark place? It says that one of the guys says, hey, I'm going to bring him out. I go, no, don't do that. The guy stinketh. Like you've been in a merge for 3 days, you know? Come on. You ever been in a place that it just doesn't smell right? You ever been in that place in your life? You know what I'm saying? It's just nothing's quite right. And at that moment, Jesus said, hey, roll a stone away. And he speaks. He says, Lazarus, come on out. Lazarus comes out. I mean, have you ever thought about that moment when Lazarus comes out? He's alive. And he and his best friend Jesus going like, because Jesus is, this thing is intense. He says, Jesus is actually crying. He's like, man, this is not easy. Bam, Lazarus, come out. They come out. I'm thinking Lazarus and Jesus are like, hey. You know, it's like, hey. Like, Lazarus is like, man, that was a trip. Back in there. Jesus is like, I know, man. I know, but we got a plan, you know. And Lazarus is like, okay, cool. I'm with the plan. Hey, I actually think I saw your dad yesterday. You know, I mean, like they're talking. Now look at this in chapter 12, because now we got a gap. I want the keyboard person to come up. Now we got a gap of about 3 or 6 months from the time that Lazarus came out of the tomb to the time that we call the Easter season, the Passion of the Christ, where he actually comes back a few months later to Lazarus' house in Bethany, okay? And then there's what they call the triumphant procession. It's a time where Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem, which started the whole time, the week before his crucifixion and then resurrection. And Jesus looks at Lazarus, his best friend. So I got a plan. Got a plan. Chapter 12, verse 9. Look at this. I think we have it for you. It says this. It says they were getting ready to, look at this. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out Jesus there came to them because they all see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Next verse. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus. Now watch this. When they were plotting to kill Jesus, they said, let's kill Lazarus also. Why? It says, because a great crowd of people have come and are believing in Christ because of what happened to Lazarus. In other words, Lazarus is at his house and people are coming, hey, you got to come meet this guy, man. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was in the dark, but now he's in the light. He was bound up, but now he's set free. You know why? Because he's got a friend whose name is Jesus. And thousands of people were coming to Christ. So many of them, they lined the road as Jesus then rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Tonight, right now, I just want to tell you this. You have a friend. You got a friend. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Have you ever heard the phrase that blood is thicker than water? You ever heard that phrase? We often talk about it in relationship to, well, you know, two guys who are brothers. But you see, a brother may not always be your friend, but a friend will always be your brother. And blood covenant, that covenant means, blood is thicker than water means this. It means that two people in covenant are closer than two men who are born of the same birth water. Blood is thicker than water. Covenant. So Jesus' death on the cross and the shedding of blood was a covenant that when he says, you're my friend, he means we're in covenant. And that friend right now says this, you may have been in a dark place, but I came to bring you into the light. You may have been bound up, but I came to set people free. You may have been in a place that didn't smell right. I mean, everything smelled like the whole thing is garbage. And I came to put you into a new place. I came to roll the rock back and to bring you out of the cave into freedom. Right now, I'd like everybody to bow their head and we're going to pray over this. Because right now, we have this opportunity to connect with God, our Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that all of us have made mistakes, every single one of us. But the Bible also says that if we ask God to forgive us and accept his Son as our Lord and Savior, that we would find a place of renewal. We would go from darkness to light. We would go from being bound up to freedom. And the same picture that happened with Jesus' friend can happen to us tonight. The Bible also says that every single promise in this Word of God, in the Bible, belongs to those who are followers of Christ. The issue tonight is not one of these scriptures actually is active in your life unless you've connected with God through Jesus Christ. So over the next few moments right now, we're going to pray, and Pastor Drew is going to come in a moment. But I want to present this to you right now. Right now, in this place, today, tonight, right now, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You don't have to walk through some sort of performance thing for the next 2 weeks. You don't have to have lived right for the last 24 hours or 36 days or whatever it may have been. Right now, no matter where we are or what we've done, God, through his Son Jesus, will forgive us of every mistake. Bible says we've become a new creation. We've been taken out of death into life. And right now, here in this place, we can, in the next few moments, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our friend. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now as we pray this prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would lead friends of ours that are here in this place right now into a new place of freedom, from darkness to light, from death to life, from bondage to freedom in Jesus' name. I want everybody to pray with me as your heads are bowed. Everybody in the whole place, pray with me this prayer. Dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to shed his blood, that I would be in covenant with you. Forgive me of my mistakes, my sin, my past. And I ask you, Father, right now, to make me a new creation. Thank you for forgiving me. And right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, as my friend. As your head's bowed right now, if you've made this decision, I want to pray with you right now. Just raise your hand. Come on, just raise your hand right now. If you've made that decision, just raise your hand. I see people raising hands all over. Come on. Everybody stand up with me right now. Everybody stand up. Could you give a hand to those people who have right now committed their lives to Jesus Christ? Here's what I think would be awesome. Here's what I think would be awesome right now. Because you're walking into something new. This is a whole new friendship, a whole new relationship.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.